Pray with me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. Well, it's been said that we never get a second chance to make a first impression. And certainly, Jesus was good at making great first impressions. All kinds of people were drawn to him because of it. They wanted to hear what he had to say, maybe ask a question or two, then see what he would say or do next. Many just felt hopeful when they were in his presence. Even people in the most desperate circumstances, like prostitutes, tax collectors, and lepers, sensed that they had a good chance for something better, for a better life, when they were closer to Jesus. And so people came in droves. Rarely was anyone disappointed. Remarkably, Jesus was always ready for whoever came, prepared to really see each person, to see who they truly were, to listen, to care, to engage, and to provide an encouraging word, sometimes an entire lesson that they could take home with them and put into practice. Last week, Cody talked about how Jesus was never boring and used creative ways to communicate and relate to people. The week before that, he talked about how Jesus didn't hang back, but stepped forward, taking the initiative to invite people to be with him. And today, as we continue our series looking about how Jesus did ministry and how we might learn more about how we do ministry in our lives and in this place, my topic is, you may have surmised, first impressions. How do we come across as a church? Do we come across as Jesus did? And what might we be able to learn from Jesus to help us make great first impressions? Now, of course, there are many passages in the Bible that can help us answer those questions. But I've chosen two for us this morning. You heard Rick read the first one. And the second one is from chapter 4 of Colossians. Listen for the Spirit speaking to the church. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. Paul was writing this from prison. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. May God add a blessing to our hearing as we seek now to apply his word to our life. Everything laid out for us in Colossians refers in one way or another to what Jesus did himself to prepare for whoever he would meet so he would make a great first impression. Jesus often prepared by praying and encourages us to do the same. Praying is one of the two essential instructions to making great first impressions. And the great thing about prayer, I always think, is that anybody can do it. You can do it any place, anywhere, anytime. And you don't need any special equipment. You don't need a degree. You don't need special clothing or anything like that. All you need is all you already have. Because all it takes is all you've got. Simply speak and listen from your heart. Praying sets us on a course and keeps us moving in the right direction. Praying builds strong connective tissue between us and God. Praying is essential to being ready to meet whoever comes our way. And praying helps us grow into a church that I think is really in sync with Christ. But, there's a but. And you've probably noticed, because you're all such good Bible readers, that there are many buts in the Bible. But, more than prayer as something that we do or something that we say, I wonder if Paul is encouraging the Colossians to make prayer the way they live their lives. An old Christian song written by Keith Green says, "Make my life a prayer to you." So if you want to step up your prayer life and practice making your life a prayer to God, and here's a shameless, passionate plug, come to the weekly Prayers and Ears. Give it a try. If you haven't already been there, give it a try. If you've been there, come on back. It's every Sunday morning from 10 to 10:45. Can you spare the time? There are 10,080, this is true, there are 10,080 minutes in a week. Now, if you come to Prayers and Ears, it is true. You will be using 15 of those minutes, so you will only have 10,065 left. So I don't know. So it's up to you. You just need to decide. But God knows, literally, God knows, 15 more minutes of prayer in a week can do wonders. So you know where I am. Come to Prayers and Ears. It's already happened today, but you might come a little early next week, 10, 10:15, then come to the 10:30 service. Anyway, back to Colossians. Paul gives us our second instruction on making great first impressions with these words. Live wisely among those who are not believers. Easier said than done, of course. And make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Those are the final words of Colossians. And along with those read by Rick, they give us concrete steps to follow for how to best live our lives. The Beatitudes, I believe, bear repeating. So here again, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus's teachings of the Beatitudes and God's instructions in Colossians tell us a lot about how to live and minister as Jesus lived and ministered. And why? Why is that important? Simply because, and I want you to catch this, how we live our lives is our introduction to our loving God. I like to say it again. How we live our lives is our introduction to our loving God. Think about it. Just think about it. The way we live our lives is important because it's through our lives, often more than our words, that we introduce God to others. Now, many famous theologians, but for this morning's purposes, I want to just speak to one. Dwight W. Moody, D.W. Moody, once said, out of 100 people, one will read the Bible. The other 99 will read the Christian. So for many people, you will be the only Bible they ever read. Years ago, before I was called out of the corporate world to enter seminary and get ready, I guess, for being here, I was in physical therapy trying to avoid surgery. And my therapist was a very accomplished triathlete, very used to training and being disciplined and all of that sort of thing. And at the time I was seeing this physical therapist, I was in a community Bible study, and I was just over the moon excited about the whole experience and what I was learning. One of the things I loved to do was memorize Bible passages, and I would recite to myself my favorites, believe it or not, during my therapy session. I know it's weird, but you know me, I'm kind of weird. And so being intrigued by my intrigue and excitement, one day my therapist asked me about the Bible study. I told her more, invited her along, and she came. She came to see for herself. Now, I have to confess that my intent was not necessarily to evangelize and convert my therapist. I was just being me and loving what I was learning and experiencing about our loving God. Perhaps this is part of what God means in Colossians by encouraging us to live wisely. Live wisely. Certainly no one wants to live dumbly. But sometimes we let things slide and we lose sight of what's really important. We start counting more on ourselves than counting on God. We then start creating a distance and a lack of connection to God, our community, sometimes even to ourselves. And before we know it, our lives are no longer congruent with our beliefs. Our walk gets out of step with our talk. The result? Instead of drawing people in to ask us about our lives and giving us opportunities to introduce them to our loving God, people are quietly finding polite ways to exit. In fact, did you know that of the top two reasons why people leave the church or never darken the door of a church is hypocrisy? That words don't line up with actions. Jesus emphasized that we should live aligned with what we say we believe. Jesus matched his doing, his actions, to his preaching. And St. Francis, who was also a much-loved preacher, once said, "It is no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching." So when we are not living wisely, we are more vulnerable to be caught unaware, unprepared, and we will not be ready as we need to be, to respond to those questions that people have of us that can point them back to our loving God. And we become dumb, not dumb in an intellectual sense, but in the ability to really make good sense. But never fear, I'm looking out at all of you, and I know that wherever you feel you are at this moment in living wisely is in you. Because God is in you and the Word is in you. And I encourage you to just be more intentional. And of course, you could come to prayers and airs, 15 minutes. And remember those Beatitudes, and you will be led back and forward into wise living as you have never experienced it before. And believe me, when we are living wisely, people will notice. They will be watching and reading us, and we will need to make the most of every opportunity, whenever someone crosses our path, whenever they come through our doors, whenever they sit next to us in these pews. What people see when they look at how we live our faith really, truly can make all the difference in the world. And with all that is going on, not only in our country, but around the world in so many places, not to mention the natural disasters of floods and earthquakes and fires, hurricanes, it is even more important to live wisely, to make sure that we, through our lives, are good reads for people as they see us. My oldest grandson, who was 22 at the time and living with me, came home from work one day and asked me, "How come you don't tell me I'm going to hell like other people tell me?" His asking was an opportunity to share the good news of God's transforming love and grace. He'd probably been living with me close to a year of the 2 years he was with me at that time. And so he saw my life. He saw how I was open to listening to him and talking with him. He knew I was a pastor in a church. And other people who claimed to be Christians were telling him, "You're going to go to hell." And so I had an opportunity in his asking to tell him more about the transforming love and grace of God. And I know you all know about that, because I know that you all have at one time in your life either been the one that was asking or the one that someone was asking of. Now, I'm a word person. Some people say too many words. And as much as I love words, I wonder if sometimes the best preaching is proclaimed by the way we live, day by day, week after week, month by month, through all of our years. St. Francis, I'll go back to him, St. Francis, you know, he started as kind of a rich, lazy kid, but he turned into a monk and an evangelist. He's the one that's credited with saying, preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words. It's kind of beautiful in the way when you think about it. Both Jesus and St. Francis drew people by the example of how they live, how they related to other people. You know, the beautiful story that I think of is Jesus and his disciples have been traveling for a long time, walking place to place and all the dust and all that sort of thing. And Jesus was about they were going to get a little vacation. They were going to take a little time off. And they were trying to go to the other side of this lake. But the people saw them going and followed Jesus and his disciples. And he looked at them and he had compassion on them. That was his life. His life was seeing what people needed and whenever possible, using his life to be someone who satisfied that need. So I ask you now, what does it matter? What does it matter if we affirm certain denominational tenets? What does it matter if we profess and speak certain biblical truths, if they have not first found lived expression in our lives, both as individuals, individual Christians, and as a Christian church in this place and time? Clearly, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is our message to communicate in words when necessary, but most especially with our lives. When we're living what we believe, people will be moved to ask. And when they ask, trust that the Spirit will help you find an answer. It'll be the right answer because it will come from who you are. If you remember nothing else from today, I hope and pray that you will remember simply this: how you live your life is your introduction to our living God. Amen.